You're listening to Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. This election, Coloradans who vote have something close to superhero status. Consider this. A vote for president in this swing state of ours is the equivalent of many thousands in a non-swing state like New Jersey. And that's incidentally where Sam Wang lives. He developed this power of your vote calculation. Wang is a professor at Princeton University and runs a website called the Princeton Election Consortium. He spoke to us yesterday from his home. Princeton was closed because of Sandy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, a pleasure.
Let's make some comparisons between states and how powerful votes there are. You've described the comparison using money.
That's right. I calculate how powerful an individual voter is in influencing the overall outcome. So if we say that a vote in Nevada is worth $1, then a vote in Colorado is worth almost half of that, 49 cents. And another example would be Ohio, which everyone has been watching in the news. Ohio, surprisingly, is not quite as powerful as Nevada. Ohio is worth 62 cents.
Why is Nevada so powerful in this equation?
Well, it's a small state, and so therefore they have a disproportionate number of electoral votes, because every state gets two electoral votes corresponding to the senators, and so they've got that extra little bit of leverage. And also, when it's a small state, individual voters have more power to sway the outcome of a small state because there are just fewer of them.
According to your model, where is a vote most powerful and least powerful? What are the extremes here?
Well, let's see. So the most powerful states right now, in terms of an individual citizen's influence, are Nevada, Ohio, New Hampshire, Iowa, and Colorado. Those are the top five.
Okay.
And as for the bottom five, I don't actually calculate because the numbers get really, really small. But among the least influential voters in terms of the presidential race are Utah, Vermont, New York State, and of course, my beloved New Jersey.
We're talking about this as the power of our votes. I suppose one way to put this as well is the power of not voting. That is to say, if you don't vote in Colorado, it's like 1,000 people not voting in your state of New Jersey.
That's right. I think that any citizen of Colorado who doesn't vote, speaking as someone who's just pressed up against the window watching you guys, I would be appalled to think of such a thing. Just all that influence. And if you don't vote, you're just putting it on the shelf.
One reason in these currency terms, New Jersey's votes are so cheap.
Yes, that's right. Jersey votes are amazingly cheap. They're like, I don't know what they're like. They're like pre-war German marks. They're just amazing. You need wheelbarrows of them to make a difference.
And explain why that would be true.
Well, the reason for that is that New Jersey is not close at all. Currently, President Obama leads by about 14% on average in polls. And so there is really very little chance of New Jersey flipping to the Republicans. And what that means is whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, your vote is not likely to sway the outcome in New Jersey. And so therefore, New Jersey is simply not going to be a tipping point state this year.
Now, we can't talk about this equation without talking about the Electoral College, right? That's at play here.
That's right. Everything has to go through the Electoral College, the strange mechanism that determines who our president is going to be.
And that's affecting the math, how you're calculating why votes in one state would be worth more than another.
Right. That's right. The obvious way to figure out who's ahead is to look at national polls. But as it turns out, first, the Electoral College is this odd system of winner-take-all races all over the country. And second, it turns out that there's lots of polling data all over the country. There's something like 100 polls available over the last few weeks. And so state polls give us a ton of information. And if there's a way to put it together into a single calculation, which I've devised, then that helps us understand exactly where the race is.
When you say winner take all, what happens, of course, is that whether someone wins a state by 5 popular votes or 5,000 popular votes, it really doesn't matter. All of the state's electoral votes go to that winner.
That's right. In theory, the winner of the presidential election could win with a very small fraction of the vote as long as he got those votes in exactly the right distribution. Now, in practice, that's not really true. It is almost always the case that the person who wins more votes nationwide also wins the Electoral College. With a few exceptions, that's true.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're talking about the power of your vote in Colorado. It is worth, in terms of its bang in this election, a lot more than votes in other states. And we're speaking with Sam Wang of Princeton University and the Princeton Election Consortium, who has calculated the power of swing state votes. Why did you develop this model?
Well, the reason I formed this model in the first place back in 2004 was that I was concerned about the fact that as a New Jersey voter, I really didn't have that much power. And I was frustrated by this, and I wanted to find some easy way to figure out where I could go if I wanted to help out and, say, for instance, drive little old ladies to the polls and help them vote, and in that way have a little bit more say in who my president was.
Well, now, did developing this model affect your behavior? In other words, did you go to another state and drive old ladies to the polls?
Well, I will say that after I did the calculations, I discovered that one vote in Pennsylvania, which is next to New Jersey, was worth 1,000 of my votes. And I realized that, in fact, it would be a great thing to do to simply go over there and help register voters and so on. And so, in fact, it did affect my own behavior. And I wrote about it for my audiences. And from the correspondence I've gotten, a lot of people started doing exactly that kind of thing based on my writings over at the Princeton Election Consortium.
And of course, this speaks to why there are so many darn political ads and so many candidate visits in a state like Colorado, because the votes are so powerful.
That's right. Colorado has become a very popular destination for both sides. The presidential candidates know that Colorado is extremely important. And so they have spent much more time in Colorado than in, New York or New Jersey.
Because whether or not they'd done the calculation quite like you, they knew that there was a difference in the power.
Well, both campaigns have a lot of expert knowledge, and I think that they've got lots and lots of nerds who are giving them pretty good advice about travel plans.
Does it bum you out that you're in a state where, in some ways, your vote is weaker and the candidates just aren't showing up as much?
Well, you keep on trying to hurt my feelings, but no, not really. There are certainly other races that are important. The Republican majority in the House is going to narrow, and there are lots of swing districts. And so there are a few congressional districts near me that are pretty close, and so that would be another opportunity. As it turns out, Colorado has several districts, one in the western part of the state that's pretty close. So there are many opportunities for citizens to make a difference.
You say the majority in the House, the Republican majority in the House, is going to narrow. That's based on the polls you're seeing.
Yes. 2 years ago, there was a wave election in which Republicans took over Congress on a big cresting wave of enthusiasm. And like a pendulum, things have swung back a little bit. And right now, the Democrats are likely to get a few more votes than the Republicans. And that translates to losing seats for the Republican side.
I wonder, in doing this kind of work, Sam, if it makes you think twice about the Electoral College.
Right, because it's in some sense anti-democratic.
Yeah, that a president doesn't necessarily win because he or she garners the popular vote.
Right. It's a strange mechanism, and some people have called it antiquated because there is the possibility of the popular and electoral vote not matching. But there is an upside, which is that in a very close election, think of it as like a big cruise ship with lots of compartments. And if one compartment floods, then the other ones stay dry. And what I mean by that is, think about Bush v. Gore in 2000. That was an extremely close election, and everyone knew that it came to Florida. As a result, there was this giant dispute over Florida, which eventually was awarded to George W. Bush. But imagine if there were a really close election this year, and we did not have an electoral college. We would have Floridas popping up all over the country, and it would be chaos. And so there actually is an upside to having an electoral college, because it's insurance against having incredible divisiveness in every state in the country. And the reality is that people all over the country are watching this race. It's not like people in Vermont or Utah or Texas are not paying attention. It's just that the candidates get out their message to the whole country through a few states like Colorado, Ohio, Nevada, and they use those states as an opportunity to talk to the whole country.
Well, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Sam Wang of Princeton University runs a website called the Princeton Election Consortium. The conversation is part of our election coverage, Colorado Votes. By the way, Professor Wang was on NPR's Talk of the Nation Science Friday recently with Nate Silver of the New York Times 538 blog, and there's a link to that show at cpr.org. So the power of your vote is one thing. Another is how to harness it. Just a few words now on voting deadlines. Today is the last day Colorado voters can request that ballots be mailed to them for the election, which is exactly a week away. So that means after today, if you want a mail-in ballot, you have to go pick it up. And it's important to note that mail-in ballots must be received by Election Day. Postmarks don't matter here. So officials say if you're in doubt, drop it off. If mail-in ballots aren't your style, early voting is going on. And then there's the old-fashioned way, showing up at the polls on November 6th. More questions? Check out the Secretary of State's website. There's a link to it at ours, cpr.org.